Good morning and welcome to Backchat. I'm Jim Gould and your guest presenter today is Ada Wong. Good morning, Ada.
Good morning, Jim.
On today's programme, we're talking about possible ways to make the Hong Kong stock market more attractive. The Chief Executive, John Lee, has announced the launch of a working group aimed at enhancing market liquidity and boosting performance. At the same time, the mainland has halved stamp duty on stock transactions as part of the latest round of stimulus measures. Hong Kong remains among the region's most expensive exchanges with a 0.13% stamp duty on stock trades, something critics say hinders the city's competitive edge. After 9:45, we'll learn more about an increase in the cancer rate among women. You can let us know what you think. If you want to join the conversation, you can leave a message on our Facebook page, Backchat, on RTHK Radio 3, Backchat on RTHK Radio 3. You can email us at backchat@rthk.hk, that's backchat@rthk.hk, or you can give us a call on 233 88 266. Joining us now, we have with us in our studio here in Kowloon Tonga, Mofis Chan, who's chairman of the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Professionals Association. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And in our Admiralty studio, David Webb, editor of website.com.
Good morning.
And also on the line, Robert Lee, legislator for the Financial Services Functional Constituency. Robert Lee, good morning to you. Robert Lee, hello, can you hear us? Robert Lee, I think we're having a problem connecting here. Okay. Mr. Chan, so, let's go to you first. So, we're expecting possible details sometime today about this working group that's been set up, being headed by the Financial Secretary, Paul Chan. What would your expectations be from, you know, what sort of recommendations do you think they might come up with, particularly on the issue of market turnover?
Hi. We have been delivering our demand and advice to the government, regulators and other stakeholders in the market. This working group should be a good start for the government to show their attitude towards the financial industry, to show their initiation to restart the engine, which was amusingly stopped 2 years ago since increase of stamp duty on the stock transfers. We do need a working group to assess and solve this problem. However, what we are worried about this, who will be sitting in this working group? We highly suggest that the working group should contain different stakeholders in the industry, not only appointing some professional and big players, but we need some new blood and new idea to face the current change globally, especially the change made by technology. We definitely support curating this working group, and we really want to see that it's a problem-solving group. Hopefully, we can see effort from the Hong Kong government, and the central government has already shown a good example.
Well, what sort of new blood would you hope to see in the working group?
Well, usually, for the past 20 years, all of the members were come from accountants, solicitors, or come from chamber, do not have any frontline association. So they cannot hear what's going on for the fund lines doing, such like us, stockbroker, asset management, and sponsor. So every time when for the past 21 years, we have gave many advice and opinion to the government, but they seems like didn't hear what we say.
Okay. Just on the question of stamp duty on stock transactions, we have Robert Lee is with us. Good morning. Robert Lee, legislator from the Financial Services Functional Constituency. You were suggesting a possible suspension of stamp duty on trades for a period of between 6 and 12 months. How much of an impact do you think that would have?
Yes, thank you for having me on the program. The general direction is to have some short-term measures that will stimulate our economy and revitalize our markets. And I think it's there is already a consensus within the marketplace and even among professional sectors or wider society that decreasing the cost of stamp duty or generally trading costs will help revitalize the markets. And one of the measures that I mentioned was to, for a short-term measure, completely cancel the stamp duty 6 months to a year. This is a suggestion that I think will help revitalize the markets, and also a short-term measure along with other things that I've suggested to the chief executive in the policy address to help strengthen our capital markets, as we're facing a lot of different challenges, geopolitical tensions, high interest rates, as well as 3 years of pandemic.
Right. Mr. Lee, do you think lowering the stamp duty would solve the issue of low liquidity? Or is it a bigger question of sort of like a weak sentiment in Hong Kong and other markets are more thriving?
Right. So I think certainly lowering stamp duty by itself will not solve all of our problems, but I do think that lowering stamp duty from a medium to long-term standpoint will give the market more confidence, and it will also demonstrate the SAR government's sincerity to working with the financial services industry to make our capital markets better over the long term. I think overall what we need to do is try to be as competitive as possible to make our markets as attractive as possible. Obviously, there's recent news over the weekend with the mainland Chinese markets lowering their stamp duty to 5 pips. So, and the overall trend has been lowering of stamp duty and trading costs. So I think to keep up and to become competitive, we really need to take an honest look and see there, if there's any room to lowering this over the long term. Okay. And in the short term, I think as low as possible. I think directionally, if you lower these costs, there are many things that we cannot control. But I think stamp duty is something within our control, and we need to stimulate the economy, and we need to revitalize our markets.
Okay. David Webb, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So stamp duty was increased in 2021 from 0.1% to 0.13%. How much of a difference would it make, do you think, to liquidity, to turnover, if it was reduced again?
Well, that was a 30% increase, obviously, and that already put us above the mainland cost of transactions. And now it's 2.6 times the mainland's 0.05%. And don't forget that a lot of the same shares are now traded by mainlanders either in Hong Kong or the mainland. So they have a choice. They can deal in the Shanghai Stock Exchange, in China Construction Bank or something, or they can buy the same share in Hong Kong and pay extra stamp duty. So that tilts their choice. Obviously, there are other factors involved, but that's one aspect of it. The stamp duty really ought to be abolished completely across the board, across stocks and property. It's a very primitive tax because it taxes the movement of assets, not somebody's profit or loss. They could be selling shares at a loss and still have to pay stamp duty, ditto property. It's a colonial artifact. I thought we were trying to get away from the British influence in Hong Kong. This was introduced by the British and goes back to 1694 when King William and Queen Anne in England introduced it for a trial period to finance a war, and it stuck around for over 300 years. So USA does not charge stamp duty. Many other markets don't. And we don't charge it on things like the tracker fund, an ETF, or derivative warrants, which are speculative instruments that are very popular amongst the retail public here, or on callable bull bear certificates, another kind of short-term speculative instrument. And so, in fact, we're encouraging people to gamble rather than invest by not charging them stamp on those. But the Hong Kong government has become sort of hooked on it in a sort of financial opium. In 2003, they only had $3 billion Hong Kong dollars of stamp duty on stocks. And in 2022, they had $66 billion, which amounted to about just over 10% of entire government revenue. And so they need to recognize that they've been expanding the government footprint, deviating from Hong Kong's low-tax, small government history, and gradually inflating our expenditure and therefore having to raise more money this way. And so that's one aspect of it. But the fundamental reason why turnover in the market is low is because valuations are low. And the reason valuations are low is a lot to do with bad corporate governance. And we have not seen many of the needed reforms to improve that. And so investors will discount the price they're willing to pay for Hong Kong-listed companies because of the risk of being, to put it blankly, bluntly, being ripped off. And if you had two identical companies, one that was subject to much stricter rules and one that isn't, investors will always pay more for the one that has a stricter legal framework around it, giving them their fair share or a fairer share of the returns. And if you have higher valuations, then you have, for a given level of activity, a higher value of turnover in the market, whether or not you change stamp duty. So that's the sort of fundamental thing. And the Hang Seng Index now, below or around 18,000, is almost down to half of its high, which was a speculative bubble some years ago.
32,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it went over 33 at one point. Right. But anyway, it was, you know, the point is that that was a speculative bubble, but valuations would be fundamentally higher. And that would lower the cost of capital for companies. It would be a good thing for the country and for Hong Kong to have better regulated markets with lower cost of capital to the companies who are willing to sign up to those standards.
Okay. You've raised a number of other issues there. But just before we move on, let's ask our other guests, what about that Robert Lee, just abolishing stamp duty altogether?
Yeah, so I think directionally, the lower, the better. Anything to remove trading costs will encourage more active trading, especially amongst algorithmic trading and the more active investors in the marketplace. I think, as was pointed earlier by Mr. Webb about government's revenue, I think if we strike a balance for from the government standpoint, if they can have a longer-term, more sustainable tax revenue base. I think taxes is a pretty loaded and quite complicated issue whereby if you remove the stamp duty but also have capital gains tax or dividends tax or other types of taxes, I mean, I think that needs careful consideration.
Well, I'm not suggesting we do
speaking,
that.
Yes, definitely removing the stamp duty or lowering as much as possible, that will really help the market and encourage more trading.
Look at the handouts that we're doing. You know, the every time we give away $10,000 to each permanent resident, that is $60 billion. So that entirely matches the amount we've been raising from stamp duty. We just need to be more careful with the money, help the poor, help the needy, focus on healthcare, education, and means-tested welfare, and not spray money around. It's my birthday today, and in 2 years' time, I'll be 60.
Oh, congratulations!
And if I survive that long,
happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Thank you, thank you. If I survive two more years, I will qualify for the joyless, the Joy U card. Yes, and I'll get heavily subsidised travel, virtually free. Now, why should I get that? I'm a rich man. But, of course, if there's a free lunch on the table, everyone's going to take it. That's not a good use of public money, and it necessitates raising more revenues to pay for it. And so we need to refocus back to the principles that the financial secretaries followed before the handover spending money where it's needed and not dishing it out as some sort of political sop.
Okay, right, but sorry, go ahead, Ada.
Yeah, David, you raised the point of bad corporate governance. So, you know, which part of the regulatory framework could be improved that we have better corporate governance?
For one thing, Ada, have you ever been an independent director of a listed company?
Yes, I am one.
You are one, right. Well, you were elected by the controlling shareholders. And that doesn't make you really truly independent because you don't have a mandate from the outside public shareholders. The whole reason that you have independent directors is because you're listed and therefore you have outside shareholders. So the result is that a lot of companies, and I'm not saying it's you, but a lot of companies choose puppets to sit in their independent director seats. They're friends of the chairman. They are not independent, and they're not watching out. Secondly, we've been talking about quarterly financial reporting for 20 years and still not done it on the main board. HKX does it, and it's in the listing rules as recommended best practice, but it doesn't. It's not mandatory. And on the GEM board, it is mandatory. And in the mainland, it is mandatory. Every 3 months, you get financial information on the companies there. And maybe that's part of the reason why they trade at a premium to the Hong Kong market. But if you ask investors, again, to choose between two hypothetical identical companies, but one of them reports quarterly and the other one only reports twice a year and in condensed form, they'll choose the one with more information flow because that gives them more confidence about the performance. And then there's the tendency of Hong Kong companies to hoard cash, excess capital in things that they don't need, you know, a shoe business that holds investment properties and cash, for example. And that weighs down the return on equity and deters investors. They're not attracted by stocks that can't focus on their core business and that aren't paying out the profits that they are due because, you know, shareholders own the companies and expect to get their profits distributed unless they're needed for expansion. That's not happening. Now, in Japan, the government has recently, through the regulators there, urged companies to come up with business plans to raise their share prices above their net asset value. And the average in Hong Kong is way below net asset value, and they're value traps. And so some companies, the trading dries up because everybody who owns the shares knows that they're trading far below their fair value and don't want to sell. And so there's no activity in the stock. So there's another aspect. We need to have a test that requires companies, a rule, requires them to distribute surplus cash unless independent shareholders approve retention of that money.
Okay. I mean, we're talking about this would involve, obviously, a number of reforms, but let's ask Mofis Chan. I mean, the purpose of this working group is to try to sort of boost liquidity, boost turnover. What do you think could be done, like, in the short term to achieve that?
Well, in short term, obviously, stamp duty is a good tool to doing that. Another such like leasing rule, margin financing, or such other is mid and long term to do it. Okay, so we would like to make it clear that we are favorable to any policy that we can help the financial industry in particular. The securities markets, cutting the stamp duty is only one of those possible solutions. Mm-hmm. We are trying to say this. The industry got confused and earlier about the decision-making in 2 years ago by the government that raising the stamp duty for 30% under the pandemic condition. Okay, so what's happening now? I'm sure that we have heard a lot of excuses of that. Oh, it's not only the stamp duty, it's about the macroeconomic issue, it's about the political issue between big countries, it's about the interest rate, it's about the investor choosing some other market, it's about blah, 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 blah. Okay? So we never heard that the government was trying to review our existing policy and keep saying that the stamp duty was not the issue. Seems like we are living in unfortunate planet.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's also, on a technical level, a number of things they could do. The spread table, which is the minimum difference between the best bid and the best offer in the stock market, should be narrower. But I was on the board of HKX for 5 years until 2008, and I pushed hard to get that table narrowed. and the small brokers, including Mofis Chan's organization and the Robert Lee's organization, opposed reduction of the spreads. And eventually the stock exchange reached a halfway point. So shares above $10 are have a narrow spread. But as you go down towards 50 cents, it gets very, very wide. At 50 cents, the next price is 51, which is a 2% jump. So you have people willing to pay 50 and people willing to sell at 51, and they're actually willing to trade in the middle, but they can't.
Okay.
So that's another technical thing.
Sure.
And it goes.
I'm just going to stop you there, David, because Robert Lee's got to leave us at 9:30. So can we just put that? Would you like to respond to that point, Robert Lee, about spread?
Yeah, certainly. Sure. I think there's any time we push forward any changes in the marketplace, I think it does need to have a very thorough research and statistics-based survey of the impact to the industry. I think there are different stakeholders in the marketplace, so a policy that is pushed forward, it will impact issuers, obviously, the marketplace, investors, and within the financial services industry, there are different types of companies, right? So I think previously regarding the spread table, I think there was a difference in opinion as to the impact, to put it simply, the impact to different stakeholders within the marketplace. So that's why previously we had some reservations about the prior proposal. But certainly anything to move us forward to make improvements, I think we in Hong Kong, we need to continually make market and also listing reforms. On the regulation piece that was mentioned earlier, we need to have a balance, I think, between developing the markets as well as regulation. So a lot of things that we need to work on, but something that's immediately necessary, I think, is the stamp duty, which I think so far we all agree on. So that would be my response to the question.
Right. How about quarterly financial reports that David Webb raised to boost investors' confidence?
Yeah, certainly. I think any time you have more information for investors, the more transparent it is, the more open it is, it's the better for investors to make decisions. I think if we were to move towards quarterly reporting for all companies, because currently GM Board does have quarterly reporting, I would hope that there's a thorough consultation of the marketplace as well as thorough understanding of the impact to various stakeholders, and then make a decision. That would be my short answer to the question.
Okay, well, Robert Lee, thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Robert Lee, legislator for the Financial Services Functional Constituency. Mofis Chan, so we saw yesterday the markets here shot up right at the opening here and on the mainland. A lot of those gains were given up during the day. And in fact, turnover on the Hang Seng was just over 100 billion, 101 billion. Was that, what do you think about that figure? Was that a bit of a disappointment, do you think? Or would you be hoping for better?
Well, I do not feel any surprise. The market and the money are too smart. You not have to see for the long term, have to take in the investment. We've not suddenly coming a new policy and so many money go into the market. This is not the point. So may I take a little response about Mr. David Webb?
Just sure. Say absolutely.
Yeah, very we, short.
Yeah, we've got to take a break in one.
Okay.
In one, if you can do it in a just, minute, then
just say some this. People may not care about the 0.13% tax rate, but for some people who are doing the buy and hold strategy, but the people. However, there are not only long-term investors in the market, but also a large number of short-term investors, speculators, etc. But in the market, no one wants to fight against money. When packing a stock market, this investor will not care too much on geographical factors, personal preference, or rather the government official tell good story. they will only tend to choose a market that we can implement their investment strategy steady and have lower the transaction costs.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much. We'll continue the conversation in about 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to take a short break for a news summary. We're discussing possible measures to boost activity in the Hong Kong stock market. A quick look at the weather. It's going to be mainly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms. Showers heavier in some areas. Sunny intervals during the day. Top temperature around 32 degrees. What's the outlook? It's going to be very hot with sunny periods apart from isolated showers in the next couple of days. Currently, it's 30 degrees, humidity 79%. And welcome back to Backchat with Ada Wong and me, Jim Gould. And this morning, in our main topic, we're talking about possible measures to boost activity and liquidity and turnover in the Hong Kong stock market. We have with us in our Admiralty studio, David Webb, editor of Website, and here with us in Kowloon Tong, Mofiz Chan, chairman of the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Professionals Association. Mofiz Chan, do you think Hong Kong is losing out to other regional stock exchanges? I mean, I'm thinking in terms of like India, for instance. I mean, apparently there's a lot of activity going on there, and a lot of funds from Southeast Asia are going into the Indian market.
Yeah. So it's a problem. What's wrong with us? The IPO ranking was always our plan in the last decades. But a country which we didn't think about was suddenly coming in front of us. It's not Singapore. It's not some traditional financial centers. She's Indonesia. We are having almost the highest stamp duty on stock transfer among all major stock exchange globally. Especially it was raised by 30% 2 years ago under the global pandemic condition. Our jam board is another funny story that we didn't have any single one IPO in Jamboard on last year. After a number of discussion, market consultation, the SPAC proposal was finally on board in the Hong Kong stock market. As far as I remember, there was only 5 or 6 SPAC companies successfully listed in Hong Kong.
That's a special purpose acquisition vehicle. Company.
But what we have seen is the transaction volume is keeping a very, very low level. So we are very disappointed to that. So for a few days ago in mainland China, we're slashing stamp duty. So for our opinion, just like what I have just mentioned, reducing the stamp duty is not the only way to boost the transaction volume, but it's definitely a critical factor. We are confident that the China government has been doing a great job. They show a positive and supportive attitude towards the current economic condition that's facing complicated issues and uncertainty.
Okay. David Webb, what are your thoughts on the IPO market?
Well, I think you've got to take a broader view. We have a number of structural problems in Hong Kong with our markets. One of them was raised in 2022 in the penny stocks incident, which people with long histories in the market will remember. And eventually the government appointed an expert group to review the structure of regulation. And the group recommended that we should separate regulation from the stock exchange because it's a paradox to have a for-profit regulator, but they still operate the listing rules. They still set the listing rules subject to the approval of the SFC, but the SFC can't really direct them to change the rules. And that's one of the reasons why the reforms I've called for haven't happened. The group said, move the listing regulation to the SFC, which already regulates takeovers and mergers under the Takeovers Code. And then we'll have a unified regulator, and then we'll have an exchange which focuses on trading of securities. And if you do that, then there's no real reason why we should continue to exempt the stock exchange from the competition ordinance currently the chief executive, not the current one, an earlier one, exempted all the subsidiaries of HKX, the Futures Exchange and Stock Exchange, from the competition ordinance. Why is it that we only have one exchange? America has NASDAQ and the NYSE and some smaller ones. Other countries have competing exchanges, but we have a monopoly, and it's of which the majority of the board is appointed by the government. So, you know, we need to get away from that, introduce competition. I think then we'd discover whether there was demand to stay open at lunchtimes, for example, rather than have a sort of financial siesta. I mean, surely there's no turnover, no liquidity at, for an hour in the middle of every day. why don't we, you know, perhaps stay open? Well, if we had competing exchanges, I'm pretty certain that the demand from the market would be to stay open, and then they would both stay open, because one of them would have a clear advantage otherwise.
But David, these are very structural problems.
We need to raise our game.
Being a monopoly, yes, and so on and so forth.
Because in fact, what it's been doing is racing to the bottom.
Hong Kong Stock Exchange are monopoly.
Yeah, they've been racing to the bottom in terms of allowing companies with second-class shares with lower voting rights, for example, to be listed here, trying to attract companies by having lower regulatory standards. But in fact, we need to go the other way. We need to be a premium market of quality and trust, which will attract higher valuations. And then we can compete against companies that are going directly to the mainland markets. Instead, we can say, well, come to Hong Kong, you get a better price for your shares. And, you know, that's all good. It lowers your cost of capital. It makes your business more competitive. We need to offer the premium framework and not race to the bottom, as we have been doing. And that's largely a government choice. It was the government that overruled the SFC's objections to second-class shares and allowed companies to come here with them.
Murphy's Chan, then, would you support that idea, then, of we should have competing stock markets, you know, within Hong Kong? Like the NASDAQ, you know, and the Dow Jones?
What I support is, if got one more market, should be competitive. It's good for everyone. So now Hong Kong Stock Exchange is the only one stock market in Hong Kong. But in the past history, in the 1970s, was got four market in Hong Kong. When that time, the colonial government think that too many stock market in Hong Kong may bring unstable to the economy. Okay, when finally they are asking for four become one stock exchange in Hong Kong. Okay, but now everybody knows.
But surely the other Asian stock exchanges, they are also pretty much a monopoly. Could I say that? Whether it's Shanghai or Singapore.
In China, we got at least three stock markets. In Japan, got Tokyo and Osaka. United States got the New York and New York Stock Exchange and the Nasdaq as well. So I believe if over than one stock market should be have competitive, it's good for everyone, okay? So even now, you can find that they always looking for unicorn to the IPO market. So it's not fair. Seems like to give up the small and medium economy in Hong Kong. Actually, they should helping this kind of industry in Hong Kong as well.
Of course, one thing that would massively increase the turnover of all the markets in China, including Hong Kong, would be for the mainland government to stop trying to control everything and sell off the controlling shareholdings in the state-owned enterprises. Because at the moment, all you've got is minority shareholdings listed and the majority held by the state in all of the old economy, basically. Petrochemicals, telecoms, airlines, you name it, the insurance, banking. Those are all majority owned by the state. So about two-thirds of the potential liquidity isn't there. And when I first came to Hong Kong, it was just the same time in 1991 as the Shanghai and Shenzhen stock exchanges were opening up, commencing business, having had no stock exchanges since 1949. And I thought, well, the track would be that, first of all, they'd do the minority listings with controlling shareholding retained by the government because it's too much to do at once, and eventually they would sell them all off. But that process never happened. And you can compare that with the UK, which in the 1970s, when I was growing up, was a very state-owned economy, very centrally planned. But they sold off electricity, gas, telecom, water, car making and so on, airlines, British Aerospace, aircraft manufacturing and things like that. All of that was sold by the government under Margaret Thatcher and the successive privatisation. And the result was a much more dynamic economy. And eventually the government even gave up the golden shares that protected those companies against foreign takeovers because they realised that you can still regulate them as long as they're on British soil. Now, this would be wonderful, not just for the markets, but for the whole mainland economy, because it's still very rigid, centrally planned. You have a situation where the Premier will stand up at the national annual meeting of Parliament and announce that mobile phone tariffs are coming down. Well, that's something that the market should determine. It shouldn't be a matter for the Parliament.
Well, I mean that's policy, isn't it? That's government policy.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just saying we are operating as a stock exchange for access to the mainland through these connection mechanisms, but unfortunately they're not doing what they could do to revitalise their economy, and eventually there'll be a reckoning on that because you cannot continue to centrally plan your way to further prosperity. The prosperity that the mainland has achieved in the 40 years since Deng Xiaoping decided to open up, has been through relaxing controls, allowing farmers to choose what crops to grow and where to sell them, allowing graduates to choose where to work and not being assigned to a factory or a work unit. And all these things, quantum of quotas of production, those have all gone away, but the big things haven't yet changed.
Right. David, what about our, broad economic fundamentals? Surely that affect the capital inflow. Do you think other cities, other places have a better story to tell than Hong Kong?
Well, it's not really about the city. Clearly the domestic economy here is in the doldrums, and that has a lot to do with policies that I can't really discuss on air because of the national security law. There is a brain drain underway statistically. There's evidence of that. Some of our young talent is leaving.
People are coming in as well.
But it will take time to replenish. If we expect to attract that in from the mainland, that will take time. It will change the character of the Hong Kong economy. But, I'm still here. A lot of people I know are still here, and I'm not leaving. And there is a good story to tell.
Yeah.
I might die, but I'm not leaving. The population might go down that way, it's got to. In terms of, do we have a good story to tell as a country? The answer is no at the moment. The country is facing severe challenges with the property sector, over-reliance on government-funded infrastructure projects with increasingly marginal or negative returns. You can only build so many exhibition centres and airports and high-speed rail lines before you start to run out of benefits. They've been doing that. The property sector is overbuilt and overborrowed. The local government financing vehicles are in a mess. We still have a lot of constraints on freedom of movement. For example, within the country, the Hukou permit needs to be abolished, and you need to have benefits following people around the country as they find work for their childcare, education and healthcare and so on.
Well, I mean, that's obviously widened the debate out again. But
with 1.4 billion people, we could have a huge market.
I mean, Murphy's Chan, you can add something.
I would like to have some counter argument. Some guys were say keeping the stamp duty. We mean the current level.
Right.
The stamp duty is different from the profit tax or salary tax. Stamp duty payer have greater option. If investors think the tax burden is too high, they can choose to not to invest or move to other more competitive stock market. This market, the stamp duty higher price elastics to the demand. In other words, when the price change, it will have a greater impact on the demand, resulting in a tax increase of 30%, far from equivalent to a 30% increase in income. And there may even be a case that of reduction in the tax income. So,
okay, you're talking about the Laffer curve. So eventually, if you raise rates high enough, nobody will trade.
I heard some guys, academic background, say keeping the current level.
If you had a 5% stamp duty on stocks, they would very rarely trade. It would be like the property market. And again, we need to abolish it in the property market. All these so-called cooling measures, all they did was to slow down the turnover.
Well, that is an issue, David Webb, for another day, and one which we will no doubt be turning our attention to very soon. Yeah, property market cooling measures and stamp duties, exactly. Well, anyway, thank you to our guests for joining us for our main topic this morning. David Webb, editor of website.com, and thanks very much Mofis Chan, chairman of the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Professionals Association. And before 9:30, we heard from Robert Lee, legislator for the Financial Services Functional Constituency.